go over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And today we'll be looking at verses 11 and 12. We find a subject being covered here in verses 11 and 12 we want to mention. And we've titled the message today, The Divine Governing of the Believer. The Divine Governing of the Believer. And we're talking about governing, specifically we're talking about governing from the standpoint of doing right, of doing what's the right things, and how that that there is a sense in which that there is a divine governing of the believer that's happening in our lives at the providence of God. And we want to think about that today as we look to the scripture, but as we read these two verses, verse 11 and 12 of James chapter 4. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Well, think today on the subject of divine governing of the believer. Context is here to the brethren. Of course, in the verse number 11, clearly he's talking about brethren when he says, speak not evil of one of another, brethren. And then he says, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother. So we're talking about believers. Context here within the book of James entirely is a context to believers, and in fact, what is said here is specific to believers, and there is a different way in which the law actually has a proper place in the use toward unbelievers, in our use of the law to unbelievers, and so. But we're in this section specifically. We're back to the proper and improper use of our tongues. And here he says, speak not evil one of another. And so first thing we want to do is want to just consider the message of our text today, that it is a simple one here, but verse 11 and 12, but it's not easy to enact in our lives. It's not so easy. It might be simple. There are simple truths in the Word of God that are just sometimes very difficult for us to actually put into practice. And I believe this happens to be one of those. But we are dealing with, still in the book of James, we're dealing with fundamentals of the Christian life. And it is, we called it Christianity 101. And today, just thinking about the divine governing of the believer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer if we go further. Dear Lord, we pray for direction and guidance. We pray for understanding, perception, clarity in our in what is said, and as well in our doctrinal finding here in this passage. And we just pray that you might bless and help us, Lord, to be faithful to your word. Help us, Lord, not to give to any one verse a private interpretation, but Lord, to know and to understand that the Holy Spirit is behind the whole of the scriptures, and that he has spoken in such a way as that holy men have written as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we just praise you for that and thank you for the word of God that we have today, and pray that you might bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So the message of our text today, like I said, is a relatively simple message, but it's not so easy to put into practice. Verse 11, we start here, and in verse 11 he says, don't speak evil of your brethren. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother. And so he says, don't do it. He doesn't say, be careful how much you do it. He says, don't do it. He just says, speak not evil one of another. And in the context of what he means when he says, speak not evil one of another, when you read the rest of this verse and the and the rest of the following verse, he's talking about judgments of one another as brethren. In other words, judging each other as brethren and then speaking evil of each other as brethren. The Lord would have us as brethren not to speak evil. He just says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. So it's kind of like, in one sense, the word is very, very similar to a number of passages of Scripture in the book of Proverbs, where the Proverbs warns us that sometimes it's better to just not say anything. Sometimes as God's people, the appropriate thing to do is to keep our lips sealed and not to speak. Well, in this case, it seems that's what James is saying. James says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother. So it is, in fact, secondly here, so the command is, don't speak evil of our brethren. Secondly, he says, that's because this is judging your brethren. Now, what's so wrong with judging your brethren? Well, there's certain kinds of judgment that are acceptable, but the kind of judgment that he's referring to here obviously has to do with a moral judgment as it pertains to the law of God. And he is saying that when we speak evil of them, then we're judging our brethren. And judging our brethren, as we're going to see as we go on here, is not recognizing our rightful role in the kingdom of God. It's usurping the rightful role that we have in the kingdom of God for a role that belongs to the Lord. So this is judging our brethren, verse number 11, and it's also considered speaking against the law, speaking against the ruling authority. Verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. Now we'll get back to this in a moment and we'll talk a little bit more about this, but this is speaking against the, in a sense, against the authority, against the law itself, against the ruling authority. And so need to be careful that. He's saying, don't, you know, when you judge, then you're kind of taking over what belongs to someone else, and your position is not supposed to be the judge, but you're supposed to be someone who is a keeper of the law. And so not the judge. So verse 11, speaking evil against, it's a speaking evil. The reason why it's wrong is, one of the reasons is because it's speaking evil against the law itself. We'll get to that in a moment. Then verse 11 also says, this is taking an improper role as judge versus the law-abiding citizens. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So it's implied here that the proper role of us as believers is to be a doer of the law. In other words, we're to be someone who's keeping the law and not being someone who is actually governing. We're not to be in that judge role. We're to be the keeper of the law role. We're to be in a citizenship role. We're to be in a citizenship role where we're responsible to the law of God, but we're not the enforcers of the law of God. And so he talks about the different roles here in this passage. And then verse number 12, we move on here. In verse 12, he says there's one lawgiver. So why is he mentioning the lawgiver? Well, he's telling us here that you got these branches of service, in a sense. You got the lawgiver, and then you got the judge, and you got the people that are the citizens that are supposed to be keeping the law. Okay? He says in verse number 12, there's one lawgiver. Okay, so there's just one lawgiver. We know who that is. That's the Lord God. But he's also not only the lawgiver, but he's also the law enforcer. And because it says here, who is able to save and to destroy. Okay, so he says, there's one person that's not only the lawgiver, but he's also the law enforcer in the lives of God's people among the brethren. And so for the brethren, it isn't the responsibility of any human to enforce God's law over the brethren. That's not the plan. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. And so even as it pertains to the pastoral role, pastoral ministry, it is not a role of enforcing the law of God. It is not a role, the church is not an enforcer of the law of God in the sense in which that the role is a role of God himself. That role of lawgiver and law enforcement is God's role as it pertains to the moral law of God in the kingdom of God. So, what does that say to us? Well, verse 12 says, who art thou that judgeth another? The last of the verse. Who art thou that judgeth another? Who are you? You're supposed to be a citizen that's a doer of the law, as he says here, not a judge, but a doer of the law. And sometimes we become judges of the law instead of doers of the law. Verse 11. Now, which one's more difficult? Is it more difficult to be a doer of the law or a judge of the law? Well, it depends on what how good you think of a judge of the law that you might be. Because sometimes it seems easier to judge others than it is to do the law yourself. You know, it gets back to what Jesus was talking about. Remember when Jesus was talking about he was speaking to the Pharisees, and he talks about them being great at correcting people and judges of the law, but as far as them doing it, they wouldn't lift a finger. They'll burden you with a whole lot of burdens, many of which might be acceptable, might be good, but they won't as much as lift a finger to do it themselves. And so you might say that it might be easier. It's certainly a temptation that we have that we have to watch carefully if we become judges instead of doers of the law. And so it seems James is trying to be real clear and very basic, very fundamental here. So what does it mean to us? Well, we're to respect, first of all, let's just back up and think about human government and human associations and relations and human authority. We're to respect authority. We're to respect those in authority, not constantly questioning how they maintain order. We don't become, it's not good for us to just become just constant judges of the law. We're in a tyrannical state. We're always trying to overthrow the government or something like that. We're to respect those in authority, not constantly questioning how they maintain order, but honoring them for the nature of their task, for the fact that they have been given the responsibility for the task that they've been given. But also other kinds of authority of institutions, human institutions that God has established. Children are to respect their parents. They're to respect the role of their parents governing them. In other words, that they are then not to become those who are judges of their parents. They're not to become those who are, they're to be doing what their parents say to do. They're to be the doers of responsibility that their parents give them. Employees. Employees are to respect employers. They're to respect those that they work for. Doesn't mean that they're not exceptions, but generally speaking, a respect for those that they work for is godly, is right, is proper. And it is not good for them to always want to just complain about the employer and constantly complaining about the employer. No, it's a task that doesn't belong to them. And sometimes, you know, if you complain enough to your boss and your boss will say, well, you know what, you want to complain enough about me, then why don't you go find somebody else to complain about, you know, then that can happen. So, and we know that. Citizens are to respect their government. Doesn't mean that they're not going to disagree with them at times, but they're to show respect and they're to honor their government. And they're not to become, get out of the role of being citizens and become law enforcement. You know, it isn't proper for within a country. It's going to result in chaos and anarchy if the citizenship just all becomes people who, you know, who carry out vengeance and carry out justice on their own instead of there being orderly government for this purpose. And so a respect for the right authority. Now, if this is the case in common life, like we just looked at, family life and business life and civil life, then is it not far more the case in the kingdom of God? As it pertains to being a member of the kingdom of God, as being those who are the Lord's people and brethren, and he speaks to these brethren and he talks about the fact that they need to be focused on being doers of the law and not just judges, not judging one another and not becoming judges of the law, judges of the very authority that God has. God is both, verse 12 says, told us, that God is both the lawgiver and the law enforcement, or the ultimate judge. He's the judge. And as such, the law has invisible enforcement. God is the one who's doing the enforcing of the law among his people. And it's unlike common authorities. You always see and know who the authority is, who's responsible, and such as this. But with God, it's unseen. It's not a human authority over each one of us as God's people. But rather, there is a spiritual authority. There is a spiritual law enforcement that God is bringing about in our lives. And we know that to be certain things like the blessings of God, the chastening hand of God, and different things. But in a sense, it works alone in the heart of God's people through the influence of the Holy Spirit. So we're being governed, but we're not being governed by human governors. We're being governed by the Lord himself, by God. And the Holy Spirit's within us. And he is leading us and he's directing us. We're to follow him. We're to yield. Over and over again, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, teaches us that we're to yield to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that we're to be following. We're not just followers of men. We're not to be followers of men. We're to be followers of God. And when individual brethren take on the task of enforcing any of the law of God, when they take on the task of enforcing the law of God, no matter what small part it is, then they're dishonoring the invisible enforcement of God. They're dishonoring that role that God has taken to himself. He is the one. He's the lawgiver, and he's able to save and to destroy. He's able to do what he wants with his own. And there's an invisible enforcement that's taking place all the time. And what is this enforcement? But what is it? It's the providence of God in our lives. He's working his will out in each of our lives. He brings us through different kinds of trials and troubles. He is teaching us all the time. He is growing us in knowledge and the truth of God's word and in an understanding and a perception and application of the word of God. He's growing us all the time. And it's the providence of God in the lives of God's people. God is far better at this than we are. And we get distracted from our own responsibilities when we assume to take over God's role. When we start becoming judges instead of doers, then we get distracted from the doing and become those who just are looking at others. And so the scriptures teach that the law is written upon the heart. What does God say whenever he says, I'm going to bring about the restoration of Israel in the last days? He says, well, I'm going to write my law upon their hearts. That's what he says. So what does it mean? It means God is going to govern them through his law. He's going to govern them internally, invisibly. He's going to govern them. And you know what? That's what happens when every child of God is saved. Every person that comes to know the Lord has written his law upon their heart in a very special sense. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is talking about that. And he says in Romans chapter 7 and in verse 22, he says, he talks about how that things have changed in his life from the time in which when he was Saul the persecutor of the brethren. Now he says in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He says, okay, I've got the law of God within me, and I delight in it after the inward man. God is governing us with his law, and he is able to do it. And he's able to teach us. He's able to direct us. He's able to correct us. And also, when we think about it, we'll never really, when we think about the fact that it's such a distraction to us as believers to get off the doers of the law and onto judges of the law, when we do that, we never really understand what the Lord wants us doing if all we do is judge one another. If our exercise is just judging each other, then we won't really understand what our real role is, and we'll lose track of it. But how much better as believers, if my job, if my responsibility is to be a good child or son of my parents when I was a little kid, and my sister is doing something that they told her not to do, well, you know, in a way, my job is to do what they told me to do, but if I'm going to do something a little bit more, then it would be right for me to encourage her to follow them also. To just encourage her to be doing the same thing as well, to be an encouragement. And in fact, whenever she goes, and it isn't necessarily correcting her, but it's when difficulties arise, it's okay. Things will be all right. You know, dad still loves you. You went through a tough time, but just to be there, to be an encourager. And, you know, the scriptures teach us that we are to be, over and over again, tells us how we're to be encouraging one another in every situation of life. We're to be there for people unconditionally, loving them as ourselves. What's our responsibility? The royal law, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we're to be loving them as ourselves, weeping when they weep, joying when they joy, rejoicing when they rejoice. And that, instead of making the brethren walk on eggshells because they don't see everything in life precisely as the way that we see it, burdening them for what we perceive as the chastening of God upon their lives, like Job's three friends did. They perceive this as being, hey, Job, you're not walking right, you know. You must be something wrong. You've done something wrong. And they became the judges of Job instead of being encouragers of Job, like Eliphaz was. Can't remember names now. Elihu was. Burdening them for what we perceive as the chastening of God in their lives is like badgering someone. It's like being a nag of someone instead of being an encouragement for doing what's right. Every time someone slips up as a children of God, it is not our responsibility to correct them. It is not our duty in life to be in the kingdom of God, to be the judge, to be judges and executors of the law of God. But whether or not we may be right on specific points, sometimes we're right about ways that we're maybe trying to correct somebody. Sometimes we may be right about it. But whether or not we're right on specific points, we're not to take the Holy Spirit's role in the lives of our brethren. It belongs to him. He's better at it than we are. And so the word says here, James says, in a very elementary passage of scripture, a passage of scripture that's dealing with fundamentals of Christian living and Christian life, he says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? And so we look at this passage, and clearly, within a context, within a proper context, judgment of the brethren is wrong. It's just wrong. And so we're not to become the law enforcement for God concerning the moral law of God. We are to be those who are encouraging one another. We're to look at the Word of God and explain and expound the Word of God and encourage one another as we can. But at the same time, we've got the duty of, and especially those who are in the ministry, they have the duty of being an under-shepherd. They have a duty of leading the flock and not of badgering and as a tyrant dictating over the flock. So we'll stop right there today, this afternoon, and look forward to going a little further there in the book of